May it please God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the first book of Kings, the 18th chapter, and we'll read verses 3 and 4. The first book of the Kings, chapter 18, and reading verses 3 and 4. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, but Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. It is really quite amazing that this king Ahab, who was an ungodly king, actually was prepared to have a man of God as the governor of his house. And this man Obadiah, who was the governor of his house, and it's quite clear that he was a child of God, and you may ask, well, why was that? Well, we're told this great truth about him. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And it's a very positive word regarding this man, Obadiah. And then later on in this chapter, we also read Obadiah came before Elijah, and he said, "And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry me thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me." And then he says, "But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." So we don't, of course, know how old Obadiah was when he referred to himself as a youth and came to fear the Lord. Neither do we know how old he was when this statement is made of him. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. But what we do know is that he did fear the Lord. This is a very important fact, a very important statement. And it's something that needs to be said of all of us. That we were someone, or we are someone, who fears the Lord. What a blessing that is. And, you know, this word fear is perhaps, in one sense, a difficult word to appreciate and put into context with the various statements that have this reference to the fear of the Lord. Well, this word really means that we are to be reverent in this fearing. Reverent then to the Lord. And then as we come to the Lord, to come in a right way with an attitude as though he truly is our Father in heaven. He is, as it were, our parent, as we would come to and treat a parent. Hopefully, though, I know there are many today who don't treat their parents rightly, but if we treat our parents rightly, we would treat them in a way which desires to please them and to obey them, and not to do things which they would not agree with, and to do things which would not be in accordance with God's will and purpose, but that should just be pleasing ourselves. So when we talk of the fear of the Lord, realizing it is, as it were, the attitude that we have as we would come to our parents and speak and do that which is in a right way. It's really relating to befitting our attitude to our natural parents. So that should be the same way that we would come then before our God And we can perhaps immediately recognize that such an attitude would indicate that we do have a reverence and we do have a right attitude towards the Lord God of heaven. And it's a test for the reality of our religion to see whether that is so in our life, that we do have this right attitude as we come to God, and we don't treat God just as a mere person, just as a mere man, and we don't reject that which God has said. You know, if we love our parents, we won't want to upset them. We won't want to do things which we know they wouldn't want us to do. And we would have that concern, desire to therefore do that which is right and to obey them as they direct us. And of course, I'm referring principally here to those who have godly parents, those who do set a good example, and therefore that should be an example of which we desire to follow and not to turn away from and to go our own way. Well, this man Obadiah, we're told that he feared the Lord greatly. That's a wonderful commendation, isn't it? To fear the Lord greatly. Not just in a little way. Sometimes we may perhaps operate so that we don't do things wholeheartedly. No, we just do things to perhaps what we might think please ourselves or satisfy our conscience, so that we're able to say, well, we've done our duty, we've done that which is right. Well, that clearly is not the way that we have here. Because here we have a man, Obadiah, who feared the Lord greatly and desired to do that which was right, even when he was a young man, a youth. Now, how good it is if you and I today, and we always need to apply these things to ourselves. See, God's given us the Bible to read as an amazing book which gives us so much instruction and directs us as to how we should respond in our own lives to the truth of God and to the ways of God. And we should therefore not think that somehow we are excused, somehow it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, because the truth of God is the Word of God, and it emanates from Almighty God, that one who created all things, and that one who always is and ever will be, and that one who holds you and me just like that. He holds our life. Our life is in the hand of God. Never forget that. Yes, you won't live one second longer than God has ordained you should on this earth. You won't be able to extend your life at all. People think they can extend their lives these days, and it's almost amusing to see how people use all these potions and things to put on their body and to eat and think that they'll somehow lengthen their life. Well, our lives will only be as long as God has ordained they will be. They won't be extended by doing anything to ourselves. I'm not speaking against trying to do those things that are right, and we shouldn't try and bring our body into disrepute and wrong situations. But we cannot extend our lives. And so what a good thing it is if we are blessed with this fear of the Lord, like this man Obadiah was, and to realize that this is a wonderful blessing. We read together that 111th Psalm. There are several verses in the Word of God which are virtually the same. But in that 111th Psalm, we have that statement which instructs us with regards to the fear of the Lord. And it's a very clear statement when the psalmist says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning. And so when God gives us, therefore, the blessing of the fear of the Lord because of the new life which He's given to us, then it is the beginning of wisdom. And what that really is telling us, it means that all the wisdom that you and I may be able to accumulate with regard to the things in this life, in the spheres that we study, in the things that we work in, he's not referring to that wisdom. Because, you see, that wisdom will die with us. Sometimes, you know, very eminent and clever men and women die, and all their knowledge dies with them. It's gone. But here we have something so different and something far more important, which is the fear of the Lord. And it's told here, it's the beginning of wisdom. That means it's the beginning of spiritual wisdom. It's the beginning when God gives life in our soul. Then we have this fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And you see, this wisdom that God gives us, then won't be something which will finish when our life on this earth ends. This wisdom will be with us, because it's that which God has done for us and given to us and instructed us and given us an understanding. You see, he goes on to say here, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. And the wisdom, therefore, that God gives us through this fear of the Lord will grant us a good understanding in the things spiritual that we need. It doesn't say that we'll have a good understanding of all the things in this life, but it will give us a good understanding of spiritual things. But there's a very positive and very interesting statement that we have added here. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. As I mentioned, if we desire to please our parents, we'll desire to do those things and to obey that which our parents tell us to do. Well, we have this in a far more and a far greater way with reference to our spiritual life, when these words are told us, he hath commanded. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. It's very strange, isn't it, that in the day and age in which we live, many people think they can do what they want to. They can please themselves, and they can obey God when it suits them, and they can disobey God when it suits them. Well, that's not the tenor of the Word of God. It's not the truth of God's Word. It's how we are left to our own selves. It's when the devil tries to sidetrack us and to convince us that some things are commands and other things are not commands, and we therefore suit the commands to our life, to our situation. We pick and choose. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean that we're not therefore walking truly in the fear of the Lord, and definitely not walking in the way that Obadiah was, when he greatly feared the Lord? And we must infer from that statement, therefore, that everything really he desired to do and to obey that which God had set before him. Well, these things are written for our encouragement, are they not? What a blessing it is. And in this psalm, as we commence this psalm, it's again interesting to see the wording that the God uses. He says, praise ye the Lord. And he says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And that's a wonderful statement. It's a very important statement. And some people then say, well, of course, I just do that before God. You know, I recognize that, but I have this kind of personal situation. I just do this to God. I praise God in a private way. Well, the Word of God gives us a contrary statement to that. It says, I praise you, the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Again, the Word of God is very clear. We need to have spiritual eyes to observe the whole counsel of God and not our counsel. And the whole counsel of God, therefore, here clearly demonstrates to us that His name is to be praised, and His name is to be praised in the assembly of the upright. And so if we have something to praise God for, it's not to be done in secret behind closed doors. It's to be done in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Well, I just mentioned that in passing because it struck me as I was reading this, and how relevant it is to our lives today. You see, how we fail to walk out the Word of God. How we easily seem to pass over statements. We read it in part. We don't read it totally. And yet it's a very full statement. Well, coming back to this, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, no doubt you young people studying hard at school and university and wherever it may be, and desiring to gain knowledge and wisdom so that you may be able to progress in life, be able to go to university and get good jobs. But all these things are right and proper, aren't they? There's nothing wrong in that. But they are relatively insignificant in comparison with the great need there is to be blessed with this fear of the Lord, this wonderful favour that God gives, which is the beginning of spiritual wisdom. And so perhaps we should look in our hearts and see whether there has been a change. Because when God works, there is a change. Without any doubt, there is a change. Our attitudes change. Our attitude towards God changes. Have we had our attitude towards God changed? Has God changed it and produced, therefore, in our hearts this fear of the Lord? This fear of the Lord. Now, none of us can tell what another person thinks. Nobody can tell what has occurred in another person's heart. It's a very personal thing between our souls and God. My friends, what a blessing if we do have the evidence that God has blessed us with His fear, so that we are concerned to do His will, to obey Him, and that because we desire to please God. It's not something which we feel, well, it's a duty and I've got to get on with it. It's because of God's favour, it's because of His love, it's because of His mercy, it's because of His grace toward us. And what that produces is a great humbling in our hearts to think that Almighty God should take notice of us, you and me, so utterly unworthy. That's the evidence of God's work when He points His finger to us and we realize there's nothing that we deserve from God. And it's all of His mercy and all of His love if He's come and given to us His fear. He is His fear. The fear of the Lord is His fear. And it is that which you and I must know and must have. You may think, well, I want to pass this exam. I must have it. If I don't pass it, I won't be able to do this and I won't be able to do that. Maybe true. But if you fail, it doesn't matter. Really. But it does matter. If you don't know the fear of the Lord. If you don't know the fear of the Lord, you know what will happen? You'll end up in hell for eternity. No escape from that place. No escape from that place. You'll be found there. And we have the illustration, don't we, of that rich man and Lazarus. He had his wisdom in this world. He had his success in this world. He dined sumptuously every day. He was very pleased with his life. But the day came when he died. And where did he end up? In hell. No escape. No way back. It's a very, very sad and terrible consideration, isn't it? And yet you see in that illustration, no doubt he would have heard the gospel and yet turned his back upon it. Turned his back upon it. What did he do? He concentrated on making money. That was his life. Making money. So what he wanted to do? Make money. My friends, let us be very careful. See, it won't matter how much money we've got when we die, will it? You can't put it in your pocket and take it to heaven. There's no currency of money in heaven in any event. It won't do you any good at all. But if we possess something which is of far greater value, you know, there's no real comparison between natural wealth and spiritual wealth. There's no real comparison. And we do need the Spirit of God to alert us continually, to direct us to the vast difference between a natural prosperity and spiritual prosperity. Because those things which God gives, the fear of the Lord, is an eternal blessing. And may we be very desirous of it. The Bible tells us this. Covet. You may say, well, the Bible tells us not to covet. No, but it does tell us to covet this. Covet earnestly the best gifts. And this is a gift of God. The fear of the Lord. And if we don't possess it, oh my friends, go after it. Covet it. Pray for it. Earnestly. Far more than anything else. Far more than any other success in this life. Pray earnestly for the blessing of God to bring you to know the fear of the Lord. And then you will so rejoice when you have the evidence of it, that God has given you this spiritual wisdom. And what is it? It's the beginning of eternal life. You'll never perish. Eternity in glory will be yours. And again, going back to that illustration of the rich man and Lazarus, there was poor old Lazarus. He didn't have anything really in his life, but he ended up in glory, and that forever and ever. So we see the wonderful difference. And Lazarus was with the Saviour throughout eternity. What an amazing blessing. And so may we be concerned today that all of us have the evidence of the fear of the Lord. And may it be indeed like Obadiah. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Greatly. Greatly, yes. You know, just God's servant Job, you know, I'm sure you are familiar with Job, or you should be, because I preach from it quite a few times. The God's servant Job, he didn't have an easy life, really. He had an easy life to start with, and God wonderfully blessed him at the end of his life. But during all the intermediate time, he had great opposition and great difficulty and great hardship. And we're told when he speaks to his three friends, and they speak to him, and he speaks to them, and he tells us in the 28th chapter, he says, "Whence then cometh wisdom?" He asks the question. And where is the place of understanding? "Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Now, God taught Job many things, and thankfully they're written down for our encouragement today. And Job didn't learn these things when he was in the midst of great prosperity, but he learned these things when God had brought him very low and had taken away so many things from him. Then God came and spoke to his soul, to his heart, and he was able then to realize the value of spiritual things far more than the value of natural things. And you know, the hymn writer tells us, "To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things besides." And you may think, you young people may think, well, I think the hymn writer's really stepping out of line, he's exaggerating. Well, the hymn writer in fact has things in a right view. He understands the greatness. And this fear of the Lord will direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we'll be concerned to do his will, which of course is also the will of our Father, will of our Father in heaven. They're united, there's no divergence, it's the same, totally and completely. And what a blessing it is for you and me to realize this when God gives us this spiritual fear, this fear of the Lord, to do those things and to seek earnestly his face, and to seek after that great blessing of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our all-sufficient Saviour. There's no sufficiency of the things of God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, and he must be, the centrepiece, central in our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this man Obadiah, he feared the Lord greatly. Now, as we may think, the wonderful blessing this is, and the desire that we may therefore be blessed with this fear, which will direct us without any doubt to our need of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, and then to be able to come and to pray that our eyes may be, our spiritual eyes may be opened to see the greatness of the plan of salvation. You know, this will bring praise into our heart. You know, when God shows us the wonder of God's plan and the infinite goodness and mercy which it brings to unworthy sinners to bow down before a holy God, and to have the evidence that our hearts have been changed and moved to seek the living God, to pray that Christ may be revealed to us as our Saviour. And when the Spirit of God reveals to us this great plan, to see what it involved, in the eternal Son of God, nonetheless, being born in that humble situation in the manger in Bethlehem, and to live that perfect life and to die that sin atoning death in order that we might receive this great gift of the fear of the Lord, this great gift of heavenly wisdom, this great wonderful prospect of eternal life in glory. What would it do? Bring praise to our hearts. Praise to our Saviour. Praise to our Heavenly Father. Praise to the Holy Spirit for revealing these things unto us. The true child of God, without any doubt, is a Trinitarian. He believes in the work of the Holy Spirit. He believes in the great and glorious plan of salvation. Rejoices in what the Father has said and the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, this is the fulfillment of this fear of the Lord. And so this man here, Obadiah, was blessed with it. We look back, don't we, to the Saviour. Obadiah will look forward to the Saviour. But it's all through the grace and the mercy and the fear of God. Now, just to move on in this a little to a more providential way, we should not think, therefore, that our lives must consist of just doing something very menial in this world. The Lord has ordained his people, some of his people, to be in very eminent and prominent places. There have been kings in our nation, queens in our nation, who have been godly people. There have been prime ministers. There have been presidents of America who have been godly people. And we should be thankful for this. And therefore we should recognize that God does and can bring people into places of eminence. And in those places, not to be, as it were, despised in their position, because this King Ahab, he obviously recognized this man Obadiah for his natural abilities, and he would have been observant of his spiritual condition as well, because this man Obadiah, you know, he did that which was right in the sight of God, and his walk and his conversation would have clearly set forth that he was a God-fearing person. And, you know, our lives, if we are truly those who fear the Lord, will show us up as a God-fearing person. And it's good to be able to speak, and it's right to speak, but sometimes our walk and conversation do speak. You know, thankfully to God in my life, sometimes, you know, I've never perhaps spoken to a person particularly about my religion, but, you know, they may have sworn and they've said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that before you." I've never said anything. But they've known the position and they've realised. Now, how good that is in our lives, that we walk before the world in a right way so that they understand we are setting a godly example. Now, we're not following the ways of the world. I have to say, though, sadly, years ago I was very different from that. But thankfully the Lord gave me that new heart and that new life. I look back and perhaps over my school days and college days, and I have much to mourn about and be sorry about. But thankfully, God's grace is great. So here we have this testimony of Obadiah, and placed in this eminent position. And Ahab had confidence in him. There were the two people to go and search the land out to find water for the cattle. The King Ahab was one of them, and he called Obadiah to be the other one. And you see, the Word of God gives us a little indication of Obadiah in that eminent position. He still was able to do that which was right in the Lord's work, And these verses tell us this. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Jezebel being, of course, Ahab's wife, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. You see, he did that which he could in that eminent position. See, God places people in important positions for his honour and for his glory. I don't believe God puts people in eminent positions just to enjoy life and to spend it on their lusts, but he puts them there for his honour and for his glory. And so we see that Obadiah was put in that place for this situation. So we should never despise people that God raises up. God raises up people, and he does still today, and we pray he might do so still mightily in our nation. You know, he did so, didn't he, with that Irishman, Ian Paisley. He raised him up, didn't he, to be that place of prominence and to influence many things in the Irish government and also in our own nation. Well, we're thankful for people like that, and we should pray that God will raise up people who will stand firm for the truth of God and not be swayed, and be in important positions and be influenced for good. You see, Obadiah was here at this very time when Jezebel intended to get rid of all the prophets. And Obadiah was there at that very time to deliver those prophets. What a blessing it is when God does raise up people for a specific time. Yes, there is a time that God does this. And the Word of God tells us, for such a time as this. We don't know in our lives why we're in positions. It may be for such a time as this. And I believe we should be looking and desiring and be concerned to know why we are in that place. We are perhaps studying a certain course. May it be for God's purpose to bring forth honour and glory to his great and holy name. And so we're thankful indeed that we have such an account like this to encourage us. Firstly, with regards to the need that we have of the fear of the Lord, let us never turn away from that as being paramount, most important in our lives. And do be honest with yourselves. Don't just assume that you possess this. Look at it carefully. Trace it out. Examine before God your life to see whether you possess this fear of the Lord. Don't just think, well, I think I do, or well, I hope I will do. May the Spirit of God so come and take possession of us that it's our chief concern to know that we do possess the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, eternal wisdom, that it may be a wonderful blessing for us. Because what that will do, that will direct us, that will lead us into all truth as it is in Jesus. This is the direction that God's people are led to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, if you find you're becoming hard-hearted, if you find you're wandering away from the things of God, then you must greatly question whether you possess the fear of the Lord. We do sometimes come into backward conditions when we backslide, but nonetheless, there is that secret of the Lord with them that fear him. And the Lord will show us his covenant. He will direct us to his truth. He will bless us. He won't leave us. But may our concern be to be found spiritually minded and to be found serving the Lord. You and I only have a little life. Let us not be found serving the devil. The devil is very keen that you and I serve him. Let us not be found serving him. Let us be found serving the Lord, blessed with the fear of the Lord, and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, may it be our great concern to have this spiritual growth, to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ, and more and more until by his grace we shall be received into glory, and then we shall see him as he is, without a veil between, with no sin, in that perfect condition of happiness. Well, may the Lord give us to know that we are amongst those like Obadiah who feared the Lord, and may it be by his grace that we fear the Lord greatly.